Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, precious saints of God. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope and pray that you are doing well. Well, tonight, in just two hours, at 7 o'clock, it's 5 p.m. now, in 2 hours, we'll be coming together, congregating for our most important service of the week, which is our prayer meeting. And there's so much to pray for. And I hope and pray that you will join us each and every Tuesday. Make it your business. If you are about your Father's business, you know, Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business. If you are about your Father's business, do the best you can to attend the Tuesday night online conference call, Prayer First, Prayer Meeting of Grace Christian Church. Well, we are in Psalm 37. Our series title is Trust in the Lord, or Trusting in the Lord and Doing Good in 2023. Our scripture text is Psalm 37, verse 3, which says, Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trusting in the Lord and doing good in 2023. Heavenly Father, we come again, we draw near as we do each and every day to feast on your word. We thank you, Lord, that there is no famine of the word. There is no shortage of the word. the Word of God at Grace Church is abundant. We have many exhorters. We have many who can share the Word, many who do. We thank you for our Sunday school ministry. Thank you because the children and the young people are being fed your Word. We thank you for our adult teaching ministry. We thank you for this internet radio broadcast. Lord, bless us. Bless us, O God, with understanding. Bless us with wisdom, knowledge, and truth. Holy Spirit, we surrender our hearts to you that you may speak to us, encourage us, edify us. Rebuke us if we need rebuking. Chastise us if we need chastising. But minister life. Oh, Holy Spirit, Vicar of Christ, Comforter of the Church, have your way with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Trusting in the Lord. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? Well, yesterday I suggested that based on the Hebrew verb bata, that there are four areas of our life in which we should put our confidence or our trust in God. The Hebrew verb bata means to put total confidence in, to put all your hopes in. To put your present and your future days in the hands of the Lord. There are four areas in which we should trust God. First, it's called saving trust. Saving trust is required at the moment of salvation. It's the moment when you hear the preached word and you say like the people in the day of Pentecost said to Peter and to the apostles, they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved?" And Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Come to Jesus. Embrace Jesus. Save yourselves," said Peter and the apostles, "from this untoward generation. Save yourselves. Run from the wrath of God. Run from God's wrath and run into the arms of Jesus. Make him your Lord and Savior today." Saving trust. And then there's living trust. Once you become a child of God, you're going to need to put your trust in your Father, your Heavenly Father, each and every day. You're going to have to trust him. You're going to have to say, "Lord, today I get up this morning and I report for duty, and Lord, I put my life in your hands. I put the people who are most precious to me, my spouse, my children, my friends, my neighbors, Lord, I put them in your hands also." It's called living trust. Vital. This trust is vital. Putting your confidence in God's hands each and every day is vital for day-to-day living. And then there's this warfare trust, the trust that you're going to need when the enemy of our souls shows up at our door and wants to take the fight to us. Now, that doesn't happen every day. The Bible calls this, in the Bible, it's called the evil day. In the Psalms, it's called the day of trouble. Let me read to you out of Ephesians chapter 6. Our dear brother Sterling has been sharing Ephesians 6 with the men at our men's fellowship, and we've been so blessed by that study. Here in Ephesians 6, look at the language that Paul uses. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm turning there myself. Turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 6. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." What's the evil day? Well, it's the day in which Satan shows up at your house and declares war on you or maybe your spouse or declares war on one of your children. That's the evil day. That's the day of warfare. David called it the day of trouble, the day of attack. Well, you're going to need warfare trust. You're going to have to put your trust in the Lord to give you the victory in the battle. So there's saving trust, there's living trust, there's warfare trust, and then there's another trust we all need. It's indispensable. You need it. You listen, you can't take life's final journey, because you know we're all on a pilgrimage. We're all on a spiritual walk. And the day of one's death will soon come for us all. It's the day of our earthly departure. And David in Psalm 23 said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's departing trust. As we depart this life, as we give up the ghost, we continue on to heaven, trusting that we have deposited our spirit into the hands of the Father for well-keeping. Jesus said, the last words of Jesus on the cross was, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I deposit my spirit into your safe hands for safe keeping, for safe conduct. That's the kind of faith you're going to need when you are on your deathbed. Don't be filled with fear. Don't be filled with anxiety. Don't lose your mind. You're already losing your life. Your existence is coming to an end. Lose everything. You lost your strength. Some have already lost the will to live. But don't lose your faith. Don't lose your trust. Let go of everything else except that. Have departing trust when you depart this world. Well, today, I want to talk to you about the second clause in the text. It says in Psalm 37, verse 3, trust the Lord. That's a lifelong thing, trusting in God. It's a verb. It's an action word, trust. Trust is something that you do for you. Trusting in God benefits you. Now, the next clause, benefits other people. David says, trust in the Lord and do good. Do good. There's a very popular saying in the African-American churches down in New York City. I don't know about anywhere else in the country, but I know down in New York City, if you visit any black church, you will hear someone, at least someone in the service will say, now, saints, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. So, David says, after putting your trust in God, after putting all your hopes and all your dreams and your destiny in God's safe keeping, the next thing you ought to do, the next thing that you should be active in doing is in doing good. And do good. In other words, add to your trusting doing good continuously. That word and means to add. So when David says, trust in the Lord plus do good. You see, life is not complete until you start doing for others. God, our God, will not have us to live a selfish life. Your trusting in the Lord benefits you, and your doing good ought to benefit others. The Christian life is one of constant activity and doings. In addition, God would not have us to live self-centered lives. Doing for ourselves and doing for others is the Christian way of life. So do good. We're called to do good. We're encouraged to do good. First thing you get up in the morning, you get on your knees, or you can bow your head, or you can close your eyes, or you can be driving on the way to work. I don't suggest that you drive to work with your eyes closed and your head bowed because you have an accident. But as you're driving to work, you can silently, quietly be talking to the Lord, and you can be putting in prayer, you can be putting your trust, your confidence, your present and your tomorrow in God's hands. Now, once you get to the job, start doing good. On your lunch break, do good. The rest of the day in the office, do good. When you leave the office and you're on your way home, do good. The rest of the evening, the rest of the day, do good. Any opportunity that you have to be a blessing to someone else, do it. So notice, when you trust in the Lord, you benefit you. Why? Well, because you put your saving trust in the Lord. You put your living trust in the Lord. You put your warfare trust in the Lord. And God forbid, if today is your day, if today is the day in which heaven calls your number and you need to depart, well, you've already put your trust in the Lord. But if today is not your day, if today you are allowed to continue to live here above ground, then go about doing good. Do good. Now, why should we do good? Why should we do good? Well, when you remain active, you don't focus on what you're going through. If you stay busy, you have no time to what? To fret. You know, David says, fret not thyself here in this psalm. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. If you're busy, you have no time to think about who's getting ahead, what ungodly person is making it in life. Who cares? You're busy. You're so busy, you're so consumed with doing good, you have no time to think about all the negative stuff around you. But on a far more important note, let's look at the word do. What does the word do mean? And do good. Not the adjective good. I'm not looking. We all know what good means. I want you to understand, based on the Hebrew verb, asah, when the Bible says do. Do is a verb. The Hebrew verb asah. Well, it means to start making something and continue to make it, continue to bring it into existence until it is completed. In other words, start and finish a particular project. Start something and complete it. That's what the word do means. Now, if you start and then you leave it done halfway, you really didn't do. Because to do means to take it from A to Z. You see, to do means to start the job and finish the job. That's what it really means. So you start something, and if you walk away, well, I started to do, but it's not done. To do means to actually see it to completion, so that if you started to, let's just say you're driving home and you see a woman and she's standing by her car. And let's just say you get out, you park next to her and you say, is there any way I can help you? Oh, yes, 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 I have a flat tire. Well, do you have a spare? Yes, I do. I'll put the tire on for you. And let's just say you take off the slugs on the tire. Let's just say you jack up the car and you take out the slugs and then you remove the tire and then you get back in your car. Well, you didn't change your tire. All you did was you took the bad tire off and then walked away. To do good is to put the tire back on, put the good tire on, tighten up the screws, take the bad tire, put it in her trunk, take her jack and put it in the trunk, take all of the equipment that you used to loosen the slugs, and you put all that in the trunk, close the trunk, and say, is there anything else? You're set to go. That's doing good. So, again, David recommends get fully involved in a project and see it to its completion and do good. Bring good to completion. Do a good job. To do half of the job is not to do a good job. So to do good means to do it all. Now, why must we do good? Well, I gave you one example. One example is you stay busy. You don't focus. You don't fret. You don't envy. You have no time to think about your neighbor and how he's a criminal and how he's getting ahead and how he gets all the breaks, and it seems like you get none. David says, don't worry about them. Their success is short-lived. Get busy for the Lord and start doing good. Wherever there's an opportunity to get involved and to do something good, do it. Bring it to completion. But here's some other examples or some other reasons why David recommends that we do good. Number one, we represent God. We're God's children. We represent God, whom the Bible declares is the ultimate good and from whom all good things proceed. God is the ultimate good. As our brethren down in New York City say, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. We represent him. Therefore, if God is good, if he's the ultimate good, if he alone is the goodness of goodness, the chiefest good, the sum, substance, embodiment, and definition of true good, then we should be about doing good if we represent him as his children. Reason number two that we should do good, we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Look what the Bible says. When you were born again, when the Holy Spirit got a hold of your heart and made you a new creation, when you were a new creature in Christ Jesus, the Bible says this about you, and it says this about me, and it says this about every single Christian. It says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, referring to the workmanship of the Holy Spirit. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, you were designed by the Holy Spirit to put out an abundance, a series, if you will, of good works. You're only programmed to do good. You're not programmed to do evil. And so as a child of God, everywhere you go, you do good. Why? Because that's what you've been programmed to do. A car is designed to take you from one place to another. That's the ultimate good of a vehicle. Its goal is to take you from this city to the next city, or from this state to the next state, or from this corner of America to the other corner of America. You drive from east to west. That's the purpose of the car, to transport you. It's designed for that good. Now, obviously, the car is used for evil. People transport drugs in it. People use cars and they mow other people down because the car was not designed for evil. It's the same thing. It's the same thing with a gun, a rifle. A rifle, a gun is designed for good. Now, that some people use it for evil, that's different. But you and I were created like the rifle, like the car, like anything, computers. Computers were made for the betterment of man. That some people use the computer for evil, that's a different story. But we were created in Christ Jesus to perform, could be that, of what? Good works. This is why it's contradictory to have people in the church who cause trouble, who cause division. Why? Because they were created, if they're true Christians, they were created to bring felicity, harmony, unity, not discord, not division. We were created by the Holy Spirit in Christ unto good works. Reason number three as to why we should be about doing good. Well, when you read Psalm 37 through and through from verse 1 through 40, there's a contrast being drawn by David between evildoers and the godly. Look at verse 1 of chapter 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Notice, David in one verse calls them evildoers, and in the second part of the verse he calls them workers of iniquity. In verse 14 he says, the wicked. So notice, you have the workers of iniquity, you have evildoers, you have the wicked, and then you have the godly. Those who perform good works because thus they were created in Christ Jesus. So again, the world that we live in suffers a shortage of men and women who do biblical good, because the Bible defines what is good. The Bible defines what God considers good. It tells us what God declares to be good. And the people who perform biblical good are in the minority. Thus, the Bible calls us light and calls us salt. So we must do good. Why must we do good? Well, we represent God. We represent him. Don't tell me that you represent God and then you go about doing evil, because you're not his representative. You cannot be his ambassador. If he is good, the sum total of good, the ultimate embodiment of good, and here you are doing evil. We represent him. Number two, the Holy Spirit took a hold of your heart when you came to Christ and created you, gave you a brand new heart, circumcised your heart of stone, gave you a heart of flesh, and now you are programmed to do good. Thirdly, there's a shortage. All hands on deck. There's a shortage of people who want to do good, who can do good, biblical good. These are the people of God. And number four, by interceding for others, we perform a good in the sight of God, our Savior. This talks about prayer. Let's go there for a moment. 1 Timothy. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Our prayer meeting, which is called the Prayer First Prayer Meeting, is based on these verses of the Bible. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and have all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. So the greatest good you can do for a sinner is what? Pray that God would save them. Keep the sinner before God in prayer. God, be merciful. God, save this person. God, save this person from eternal damnation. God, save this person from the lake of fire. Oh, God, save them from the wrath to come. Save them, Lord. Have mercy. Forgive them of their sins. Turn them around. Grant them eternal life. See, this prayer, this kind of praying, this supplication, these intercessions, these things in the sight of God are called or deemed or classified as good and acceptable. Why? Because God is in the saving business. So this is a good that we can offer. A good would be for you to come Tuesday night to prayer, to the prayer meeting. Join us. It's good. God views it as good. Because this is where we cry out to God that he would save to our north, to our south, to our east, to our west, that he would begin to save in St. Johnsville, there in Palatine Bridge and Fort Plain and Little Falls and Utica and Herkimer. Oh, God, we are interceding. We are praying. We are crying out to you. We are before you in supplication that you would begin to turn men to Christ. Turn women to Jesus. Turn young people to the Lord. We're interceding. We're crying out to God that he would pour out his spirit and draw men to Christ. See, this is the good. This is deemed as good. And then finally, by visiting and feeding and clothing others, by visiting, feeding, and clothing others, we perform a good approved of God. So David says, trust in the Lord. When you trust in the Lord, you put your life, present and future, in the trustworthy hands of God. Now, once you are safe and secure in the arms of Jesus, like the hymn writer wrote, once you are safe and secure, then go about doing good. Employ yourself in doing good. Employ yourself in being a benefit to others. By putting yourself in the hands of God, you benefit you. But when you go out to do good, you bring benefit to others. Well, saints, that'll do it for today. Hope to see you tonight in our wonderful prayer meeting. As always, until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. God bless.
There are some things that I may not My soul.